your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go.
Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come on, Bobby.
Hey, good morning. Look at us. Wednesday. Got a good show today. Chris Jansen is going to be in to perform next hour. Colton Underwood, The Bachelor, comes on. I got to ask him some questions about The Bachelor, maybe some advice for one of my friends who's, you know, been rumored to be on The Bachelor. We'll get that on there. You know, got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Got a good one. I was talking to Amy's husband yesterday afternoon. I ran into him here at the building. He tell you?
Oh, no.
We talked for like 20 minutes outside.
Oh.
And it was almost too cold to sit out and talk because it's winter. But we rarely see each other when it's just him and I.
Mm-hmm.
So we sat out and we both were kind of cold, but we both were like enjoying the conversation. And we talked about, you know, we talked about the whole time?
What?
Not you. We talked about drones.
Oh, really?
And all you have to say is, hey, drone. And he goes on to it. No,
shoot,
it was good.
Did he keep you too long?
No. Because,
was it boring?
No, because I was like, what does this mean? What happened? But that's his passion. He's a pilot who now works with drones.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked for like 20 minutes out there.
No. Yeah.
He didn't tell you? He didn't go home. I was like, hey, great talk with Bobby.
No, I got home late and it didn't come up.
Mm. Well, that happened yesterday. The Walker Hayes Challenge. I'm trying to start that.
What is it?
Saw that.
I didn't see that.
Didn't see that?
I
hey, show so Amy Walker Hayes' Instagram. Right, show her my Insta story. Because, here, I'll just show you mine. Walker Hayes gets on Instagram and posts this picture of him. And Walker Hayes, hey, you broke up with me, hey, that guy, he is a monster.
Hey.
So,
oh, okay.
Like
yeah,
Bill, like
he's
Rick.
Dad of six.
Yeah, so look at this.
Not,
that's
he does,
him.
He does not have a dad bod.
Now, I started it. That's me. And then I said, hey, Ryan Hurd, you're up. And
so okay,
yeah,
I get it now.
So we're like trying to get everybody to the Walker Hayes Challenge on my Insta story.
Dang, what if that goes viral?
Well, that would be the fun thing if like everybody starts to do this movement.
Next thing you know, like Bieber's doing it. Like, hey.
Bieber. Yeah, so that happened yesterday. Yeah, a lot of things happened yesterday. What about your kids?
What about them?
They good?
Yeah, they're doing great. They're doing so good. We got their reading levels from their new school.
Because they weren't high because they came from Haiti.
Yes. So daughter's 11, son is 8.
Mm-hmm.
And their reading levels now, they've been learning English for officially a year now. And she's at a third grade reading level.
Which is how old? 9?
Yeah, she's technically in 6th grade. But she's reading at a third grade
level. No, but
that's
going up.
Yeah, it's going up.
Yeah, that's going up.
And then he is... And he is at what they say, the very beginning stages of a first grade level.
Which he's 8, so he should be in 2nd or 3rd grade.
He's like in 3rd grade, but his reading level is 1st grade. So
come on.
Yeah, so we're climbing. So, and then it'll catch up pretty fast. So hopefully we'll be where they're supposed to be, you know, I would say in the next year, they could be
good for you.
Totally caught up.
Wow. Yeah. Your son was funny to me because he wants to, do you guys, Lunchbox, you know who your son wants to invite to his birthday party?
Mm-hmm. No. Who would he want to invite?
Go ahead. Somebody famous, very famous.
Very famous.
Very famous. A lot of people.
We all at least talk.
Every day.
About this person.
Oh, that's easy.
Go ahead.
Tom Brady.
No, no, no.
Every day?
Yeah, he wants to invite Alexa to his birthday party.
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
He feels really close to Alexa. They talk every day. She plays him music.
Yeah.
She tells him the weather. I mean, sometimes he just asks her all kinds of questions, and she answers everything, how she's feeling. Like, they have full-blown conversations, and sometimes I feel a little weird about it. Like, I'm like, I don't know if this is, like, really good or sad, because that's how much time he spends with her. But the reason why I let the conversations go on and on is because it's been good for his English, because he's got somebody to talk to.
Does he think somebody's talking from like a...
And then that's less I have to deal with. Like, thank you, Alexa. Because he has a lot of questions, like a lot. He's very inquisitive. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wants Alexa to come to his birthday, so I don't...
What if you just got a lady and hired her and just said she was Alexa? And you're like, this is Alexa.
That's cool, dude.
Yeah. How funny. I mean, the greatest, nicest prank ever. If you just got a girl from work that he's never met,
mm-hmm.
and she came and she was Alexa.
Yeah.
And she was like, hey, Stevenson. And he asked her questions and she just makes up answers. She doesn't even have to know.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be so funny?
Well, he'll ask things like, are you hungry?
Yes, I am, Stevenson.
Yeah.
What? That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Big three stories.
Let's go over to Raymundo in the glass room with the news this morning.
Yeah, in Florida, 3 elite training soldiers had to go to the hospital after a night parachute training accident. All 3 still remain hospitalized. in weather news, 50s and 60s in most places, colder up north, tons of rain in California. Careful on those roads. And finally, El Chapo, found guilty on all counts. He faces life in prison.
The Bobby Bones Show.
Melanie in Los Angeles, how are you?
Hi, Bobby. Good morning, studio.
Morning. Good morning.
Look at this. She knows what to say to get us all to yell. That's funny. What's happening, Melanie?
So, I just wanted to let you know, I hear callers calling you guys all the time telling you how wonderful you are. And they're not lying. But I don't think, you know, just how far you reach. I was in a supermarket. I'm in Los Angeles. I listened to you on iHeart. And there was this little boy. He looked maybe 8. Really small kid. Looked really upset. He was clutching both of your books in his arms. And his mom, I was just kind of eavesdropping because I was curious. And his mom said, you know, honey, it's okay. Kids at this age are kind of mean, but you just got to be like Bobby. You just got to keep going. Bobby was picked on, and look at him now. He's got so many friends. He's got a good job, and he's so happy. And the little kid's like, yeah, I guess you're right. And then I can play them the na-na-na song.
Wait, that worked with an 8-year-old?
Hey.
What, talking logic worked with an 8-year-old?
I'm just telling you what I heard.
Wow. What kind of grocery store was it, though? What aisle were you in?
Bread.
Oh, I love bread. Oh, yeah, that's how I know it's true. That's how I know it's a true story.
Yeah. Well, cool.
But the kid said he's going to play the na-na-na song.
What's the na-na-na song?
What is that?
Okay. He goes, how do you like me now? Na-na-na-na-na-na.
I don't know that song.
Is that like Toby Keith, but also the like kid, a right? kid's
like
version?
It's Toby Keith. Toby Kid.
Yeah.
Kids Bob, Toby Keith.
Hey, well, thanks for that story, Melanie. I appreciate that. Thanks for listening in Los Angeles.
You're welcome.
All right. See you later. Hey, Virginia. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. You're in Texas?
Yes, I'm actually in the Spring Branch Canyon Lake area right by Whitewater.
Oh, like San Antonio. Hey,
yeah,
San Antonio.
Man.
What up, Virginia? What would you like to say?
You know, I wanted to say hi and tell you guys, I drive my daughter to school every morning, and we have about a 45-minute drive to school. And I have to tell you, listening to you guys, especially at Lunchbox, you put a smile on my daughter's face every morning. She's a junior in high school, and she just, you make her crack up.
San Antonio's own. You know, she's on the phone. Lunchbox was living in San Antonio as a delivery driver when I met him.
Yeah, that's right. UTSA grad. Well, 3 hours short, but I went to UTSA, and yeah, I delivered sandwiches for Jason's Deli right there at I-10 and De Zavala.
How many?
Or Huebner, sorry.
Yeah, because that matters. How many how many years did you deliver sandwiches?
No, I was only there for about 9 months,
yeah.
But I had worked my way up all the way to #2 delivery driver, so that means I got to do breakfast and lunch. I was making straight cash, homie. When you said, hey, you want to work for the radio station? I was like, man, I don't know if I can give up all this money I'm making over here at Jason's Deli. It was a hard decision because I was making all those tips you didn't have to report to taxes. Oh, man, it was great.
Yeah, talk about that more.
Yeah.
on a national
kept all that money, huh?
Yeah. You didn't pay a lot of that in, huh?
Nope, I didn't. Because I already got.
No, he's still
just stop talking.
Stop talking.
Just be quiet.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's like, I did it.
I sure did it.
Why are you asking me?
I didn't pay the government.
Virginia, thank you for the call.
Thanks, Bobby. Right. Have a good one.
Have a good day.
Bobby Bones. Yeah.
Have you heard of the post-wedding blues?
I haven't. Nope.
Psychologists say that many people tend to romanticize the wedding and married life. So then after all the excitement of the wedding, they find themselves in an everyday situation and they're like so disappointed.
Oh.
Like,
oh, you were just a married now.
Okay, I could see how people get that if they weren't like properly warned.
Oh, yeah. See, I've never been married, right? If you're new to the show, never been engaged, never been married, I don't have any kids. But everybody else is. Amy's been married for
12 years.
Lunchbox been married for
3.5 years.
Eddie's been married for
13.
Okay, so let's talk about this. The post-wedding blues.
Oh.
Did you get them?
I didn't get them because my husband was in the Air Force and we had like a honeymoon situation like half the year. So he was literally gone 6 months out of the year when you added it all up for years. So no, but I also got a lot of advice from people that had been married and wanted to make sure I didn't think like marriage was some fairy tale that I was going to be in La La Land and that I knew it was going to be work and there was going to be things.
What's the hardest part about being married?
Sometimes you're Well, communicate, like if you're not communicating, sometimes that can cause all kinds of problems. And if all you did was talk about it, it would save you a big fight. Probably having, for my husband, probably more so for me, is having to read my emotions or hormonally where I am and why I'm being crazy.
He's got to
feel bad
play
for
the magic
him.
Eight ball on you?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has to do that. And then
I can relate a little bit on that.
I think it's just learning to communicate with the other person and making sure that you're on the same page. Because I feel like so many of our fights or issues is because we just didn't communicate properly. And then it's like, oh, well, if we'd have just sat down and really talked about this, or I assuming that the other, assuming someone feels a way when they don't feel that way, oh, that gets you in all kinds of trouble.
Lunchbox, what's the hardest part about being married?
They're always there.
What?
I mean, just really.
Not unless you marry someone in the
I mean, it's true. Like, you say that little blues after the marriage. It's true because you see TV and movies and you think, oh, it's excitement all the time. And really, you come home and she's just chilling on the couch. It's like, hey, how's your day? Good, good, cool. Like, there's no excitement. You just watch TV. It's like, it's not like the movie. It's like, oh, you come in and everybody jumps up in your arms and they're ready to make out or whatever. They're ready to, you know, let's go to the movie. It's not like that every day. Like, in the movies, they're always excited to see each other.
You're watching a lot of movies about this?
No, if you watch TV shows, everything about marriage is exciting and there's nothing bad. And they're always there. It's, you don't have your own time.
What's the best part about being married, Lunchbox?
Always having someone to do something with. You know, someone that's going to have your back no matter what.
Best. She's always around. What's the best part? Well, that she's always around.
No, she has your back no matter what. She's your ride or die. Like, she'll support you and have your back. Stick up for you.
Eddie, what's the worst part of being married?
Sacrifice. Like, you have to sacrifice everything. Like, you now are in a partnership. You sacrifice your money. You sacrifice what you want to do. You sacrifice your dreams, your goals, if she wants to. Yeah.
Holy
crap. Like, sacrifice your goals?
Does she take everything from you?
Wow.
No, absolutely. Wow. If she wants to, like, a job that you have to move somewhere else, like, you got to consider and be like, all right, well, I didn't really want to live there.
Well, vice versa, yeah.
And vice versa. Sacrifice. It's hard.
Yeah. What's the best part?
That, like Lunchbox said, ride or die. I mean, you always have someone. Bad day at work, that's okay, because you're going to go home and you're going to have someone to help you get through it. Ugh, a loved one dies, you're going to have someone to help you get through it. All those things. You're going to have a partner for the rest of your life.
Let me ask
you
guys.
It is nice knowing you always have somebody.
Yeah, and that to me is what I'm looking forward to. But do you guys look at me, like, really, do you look at me, the married guys, look at me, and are you envious that I'm still single?
Well, what does that mean?
Like, I can do whatever I want. Yeah.
Okay, a little bit. Yeah. You don't have to check and say, hey, what are we doing this weekend, or do you have plans? You can just do whatever you want.
Whenever
you want. But the only thing I'm not envious is you don't do any of that.
That's correct.
Like, so that makes sense. Don't take him as a person. Don't take his actual calendar.
No, they can take you.
Him. Him. Exactly.
Well, Bobby,
you're wasting what you have.
Like example.
Oh my gosh.
Like, pool parties every weekend, dude. But you don't have those, so we're like, oh, well, we're good.
No. You have everything. You can go do whatever you want, but you don't ever just go do things for fun. You don't just go.
I work.
That's what I'm saying. You are wasting what you have. So envious, like, okay, yeah, the freedom would be cool sometimes, but you don't take advantage of it, so I'm not envious of that part.
Eddie?
Yeah. I mean, the same. Like, I would say maybe 10 years ago, yeah, I would take Bobby's life. I can do whatever I want. Now it's like, all right, Bones, like, we're all older now. Like, I kind of like, dude, get with us now. Like, you're still single. Like, get with us.
Or just, you know, go out on, like, bring some chicks over to your pool. Like, I mean,
yeah, that's with the pool. Everything's been about the pool in movies.
Like, that's what I'm saying. You have all this, but then you don't even use it. So what's the point of being? I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
I'm ready for you to have a family. Like, I'm ready for that.
Cool. I'm ready to have a girlfriend. I'm ready to have a date.
Yeah.
Way before
I know.
That.
I know.
Yeah.
One step at a time.
Okay. Well, post-wedding blues. Does it exist? Amy?
Yes.
Okay. Lunchbox?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Eddie?
It's called life. Yes.
Oh, yeah. All right. There you have it, folks.
But you won't have them if you don't have this weird expectation, and then if you marry someone in the military.
No, you'll always be disappointed. I mean, it's
what? Just,
yeah,
what are you
it's life.
About?
There's gonna be a moment where you're just like, man, gosh, like,
But that's not what he read as to post-wedding blues.
I take Eddie's word.
After.
Yeah,
there you go.
The latest from Nashville and Hollywood. Morgan number two's 30 Second Skinny.
Luke Bryan and his wife adopted an 18-year-old dog after seeing him on social media. The dog was turned over to a rescue group because of his owners and their allergies. So Luke and his wife adopted Poochie to let him live out his life with them.
That's good. You have a lot of space to run on the farm. That's cool.
Super cool.
Yeah, what else?
Maren Morris posted on social media a thank you to everyone who made the past year so unique and beautiful. After her 3 Grammy noms came up short, she ended the post with a, on to the next one.
Well, you're welcome, Maren.
Yeah.
No problem.
Hey, it's on us. We're proud of it. What else, Morgan, number two?
Jason Aldean chose the next single off his album. It's called Rearview Town. Here's a clip.
Yeah, it's good, too. Here you go.
It ain't nothing but a rearview town. Broken hearts and rusted plans.
I'm Morgan number two. That's your skinny.
It's time for the good news.
With Bobby.
Tell me something.
Well, want to be a police officer?
Mm-mm, I didn't.
Well, her name's Abigail Rose, and her dream has always been to be a police officer. And when the cop is swearing her in, he gets emotional because she was first diagnosed with cancer 2 years ago after 80 rounds of chemo.
Oh, my gosh.
She was in remission for 5 months, but it came back. And so she was like, I want to be a police officer. So they swore her in. Her new job as police chief, she said, is to go after bad guys like they're going after the cancer in her body.
Mm.
Crazy,
wow.
Huh?
Yeah.
She was wearing a uniform, decorated with donated patches and challenge coins from all the cops in the area.
So sweet.
I saw the video a couple days ago. And again, the police chief who was swearing her in starts to get emotional during it.
Mm, I'll have to look it up.
To mark the momentous occasion, the city council even proclaimed that day to be her day when she was sworn in.
Special.
Yep.
Bobby Bones Show.
Bonehead.
Story of the day.
This story comes to us from New York. A 34-year-old man was in jail waiting trial for an armed robbery charge. $50,000 bond. He calls his mom, hey, I need you to get me out of jail. Pay the $50,000. Mom says, listen, I don't have $50,000. The son gets mad and calls a swatting prank to his mom's house.
From jail? Wow.
From jail! Says there's being someone held hostage at that address.
You can't do that.
You can.
Wow. Because he thought his mom really had the money, but was just mad at him.
So what do the cops do?
They swarm the house with shields and guns drawn, and now he has a $250,000 bond.
Oh, it went up.
Wonder if she'll pay that one. And if she doesn't, what happens?
All right. Oh, I'm Lunchbox. That's your Bonehead Story of the Day.
Go.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Chris Jansen.
My guy Chris Jansen's walking down the hall, walking in the studio now. There he is. Chris Jansen, everybody. What up, buddy? Have a seat right there.
Thank you much.
Good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you guys. How are you?
I'm about to hit this new song. Put your headphones on real quick so you can hear this. Oh, well, you don't have to do it that quick, but I want you to be able to hear.
Uh-huh.
This is Chris's song, Good Vibes.
I'm getting them good vibes. I'm living this good life. I'm breathing on God's time. And I ain't gonna waste one breath. I'm soaking it all up. I got me.
What's up with this one?
What's up with that one over there?
No, with this song.
Oh. Man, I love this song, and it sounds so good. Thank you for playing it. Man, it just makes me feel good, and I just, to be honest with you, man, I think everybody needs a little bit of good vibes in their life, and it makes me smile, and it makes others smile, and I just love it. I'm so proud of it. I've never been more proud of a song, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Good vibes. We'll play it in a second. Whole thing. Hey, let me ask you about your guitar. Did you ever get it back? The one that's stolen?
I did not get it back.
So what happened with that? We talked about it, but I don't know like what really happened.
Yeah, so we were playing the Grand Ole Opry downtown at the Ryman. Everything was great. And when everybody left, my guitar player, Randy, actually left with my gear because he was going, you know, they did bus call this week or whatever with the band. So he took his gear and my gear, and it was in the backseat of his car. And when he got home, somebody broke into the backseat of his car and stole stuff.
So it wasn't your car at the Opry?
No. It was a little misconstrued in the press because some people picked it up or whatever, but it wasn't my car. But you know what, man? At the end of the day, nobody's hurt. Everybody's safe and healthy, and it's just a guitar. So hopefully we'll get it back someday. But if we don't, you know, hopefully somebody enjoys it.
What if you were driving through downtown Nashville?
Mm-hmm.
And did it say Jansen on it?
Yeah, it says my name right on it. Yeah. That's the bad thing. When you get out of the case, I bet they were like, oh my gosh, you know?
What if you saw someone playing it? What would you do?
First of all, there would be no confrontation or any kind of weirdness because, again, it's just a guitar. I don't know. To be honest with you, right off the top of my head, I'd probably let him keep it.
Well, I got news for you. Bring it in, boys. I'm just kidding.
God. Oh, you're serious.
Bobby. Come on.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Chris Jansen.
Chris is performing at our iHeart Country Festival May 4th in Austin, Texas. Got that new song called Good Vibes. Hey, I saw on your Instagram that... Are your kids singing on this record, the new record, or the new song?
They are. Yeah, they are. They're not on Good Vibes.
Yeah.
However, they were the first ones, along with Kelly, my wife, to confirm that they liked it and they thought it was a hit. So, and that's the truth. But they're singing on a song called Hawaii on Me on the album. And we recorded this record primarily in my house, in my basement, which was kind of... I've never done that before, and it's really worked out to be really a neat thing. And we called Kelly downstairs... just really to hang out while we were recording this vocal. And Tommy, my co-producer, was like, man, we should get Kelly to sing on. I was like, yeah, we should definitely get Kelly to sing on. And Kelly doesn't sing. But we had a good time with it, and we made it work. And then Georgia came down, our youngest daughter, and she actually holds tune very well and sings very well and jumped on the track. And so we got some little inflections on that one song, and it's really for no other reason than it just sounds sweet, and it was just a great sentimental moment and pretty neat. So we just actually heard a recording of it the other day, and we're real proud of it.
That's cool, man.
Yeah,
Looking forward to that.
Thank you very much.
I saw that Jake Owen sent you a camouflage golf cart.
Isn't that awesome?
I always think, are people that rich where they just send camouflage golf carts to people as a gift?
I believe he may be richer than most people think, man. But I will say that he is certainly turned out to be a great friend of ours and of mine. And I love saying good things about people and knowing things about people where you can really tell a great good vibe story really about
them.
Walk
me through this, Chris Jansen, because
he's awesome.
You're on tour with Jake Owen.
Mm-hmm.
And you finish the tour.
Yep.
And do you go home and see it, or does someone send you a picture of it?
Someone sent me a picture. Well, we got a call at our house. A delivery man had a trailer of golf carts, I guess. And he delivered several that day, but he called and said, we were somewhere on the road, somewhere in snowy weather up in the Midwest, and he said, hey, we've got a golf cart here from Jake Owen, basically. And it was just a really neat thing.
He sent you a golf cart.
He loves golf. And he also got me a pair of golf clubs over the course of the tour too. I know. And I know nothing about golf. I like to dress up in the clothes and just pretend that I do, but I know nothing about it. But now I have a new set of clubs. And the golf cart, by the way, is not your normal boring golf cart. It's a awesome golf cart.
Looking at it here. Hey,
yeah,
that's really nice of Jake Owen.
He's an awesome guy, man. Seriously, one of the most giving people I've been around. He really does a lot for people.
Ed, did you go to Christmas party?
I did.
Every year, Chris Jansen has a big Christmas party, and Eddie went this year. And Kid Rock showed up at your house?
Mm-hmm.
You guys buddies?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah. I'm buddies with a lot of people. I have an eclectic group of friends, man.
What'd you think about that party, Eddie? What happened to Chris Jansen's house on a Christmas party?
It's amazing. It's almost like the first thing my kids said, because the whole family went, my kids are just like, oh my gosh, Deacons from Nashville's there.
Oh, Kid, yeah, Chip Heston, yeah.
Kid Rock is there. Like, he was just like, this is crazy. This is a Christmas party? Like, who are these people that you know? I'm like, buy me a boat, guys, here.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
Were the low cash guys there?
One of them, Preston.
Yeah.
And who was there? Santa? Santa was there.
Santa, the real Santa.
The real Santa.
Yeah.
I heard.
Yeah.
Of everyone, how do you get him?
Just call him up.
Dang.
We got a long-standing relationship, he and I.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Chris Jansen.
Chris is going to play us a song in a second. You have your guitar over there?
I got it.
Cool. Hey, look at that. Hey, of all the jobs you've had,
yes.
What's been your worst job?
Wrapping round bales in the Midwest where I grew up with black paper to keep them conserved and dry in the mid-summertime when I was a kid, my first job.
So you wrap bales?
Mm-hmm.
Did you haul hay ever?
Yeah, oh yeah.
I hauled hay a lot.
Me too.
Ugh.
That was pretty much a constant thing that I made no money for. It was just part of what we did, you know, because we had livestock.
Did you ride in the truck? Did you throw? What'd you do?
I did all of which.
Yeah.
And this is, you know, we grew up in like my friends and I grew up in farming communities where there wasn't, they didn't have fancy stuff and ladders and chutes that, you know, haul them up into the loft and everything. It was just strictly picking them up and throwing them. So square bales, and then the round bale thing, of course, that's tractor driven. But I was the guy who, you know, I got the grunt work. I was down there wrapping them up with the black paper and the whole deal. It was just awful, but you know, it's a good learning experience.
Didn't you make snow cones for a while?
I did. Yeah, I made snow cones at the local ballpark edges. We had my friend Chad and I had little stands set up, and we just made snow cones for people. And like a lot of times, you know, we would close up. I was telling somebody the other day, we tried to buy some ice cream, the kids and me and Kelly in Florida, and they closed up the shop like 15 minutes early for no apparent reason. And I just said, you know what? I once had a snow cone business, and people used to come after we were really closed by the time signature, then they would really want snow cones. But man, if you have the opportunity to make money, it's like we just totally capitalized on it. And we had fun doing it, by the way. We had flat screen TVs, like first generation ones up in there. And
oh boy, don't get Lunchbox started.
We were rocking. Boy. Yeah.
This is like his dream.
Oh no.
We can start a snow cone business right now,
no,
bro.
I'm serious. Oh, for years, I've been telling Bobby we should open a snow cone stand with flat screen TVs.
I'm serious.
A baby changing station on the back so you know you don't have to rush home.
Yep.
Everything. And he says it's a bad idea.
No,
and
I just said I'm not giving my money.
And you come in here and you say you
that...
did it, and you'll make so much money.
You really will. Here's the thing. Like, people love snow cones after the ball game, and kids love them. So we had a trifecta set up. Every exit that you went out of the ballpark, we had it, like, set up, you know? And, like, the big main one was at the Parkette restaurant, which was kind of like the local eatery where I grew up, and it's still there today. And we had a little – it was a lawnmower shed, basically, like something you'd see at Home Depot or something out front, you know, like a stock shed. And we just built it up in there, and we bought the little snow ice machines. And we had a full-blown, like – enterprise going.
I love it because the name is Bones Cones. I mean, how smart?
Nothing's stopping him from making a snow cone stand. I just don't want to have a snow cone stand.
Yeah, there's two sides of looking at it, I think. But
yeah, or be a loser.
I just didn't. Here's the deal. Gosh. I didn't want to go do a nine. You're not a loser.
No, I'm saying
he's talking about me.
Yes, because he doesn't want to get
either.
In on it.
You're not a loser.
Get in on it. He wants me to finance the whole thing, and he's not even going to run it.
I got it.
And so he doesn't
Bones,
really have a business.
You want to be the GM of Bones Cones, but you want him to pay for Bones Cones.
Well, he's got the money, and so I got the brains.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
That's what you need.
Yeah, you got to have the brains.
Yeah, you got to have.
Do you think he has the brains?
I think he has the brains.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah. Me too. Go.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Chris Jansen.
He's here. He's out. He's touring like crazy. Are you doing... What's the tour's called? Like five...
Waiting on Five.
Waiting on Five. What's that about?
Waiting on Five to get started on Six. Waiting on Five is a song on the new album, which, by the way, in September, we have a new album coming out, my third one.
Is that why I don't know that? Because I haven't heard that song, right?
Yeah, it's brand new.
Okay, got it.
And, you know, the whole album process, by the way, has been such a fast thing because I was just writing because I was in a great mood because Drunk Girl's doing good and we're having a great year. And I was writing a bunch of songs because I was really inspired. And then I put a bunch together. And we're making a new album now because everyone seemed to love the songs. Waiting on Five happens to be one, so we named a tour after that. Kelly actually came up with it, and it just stuck. You know, people kept going, wait, are you having a fifth child? Or no,
are
we're
you
not.
Waiting on a fifth child?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're not waiting on a fifth child.
By the way, this song won Music Row Song of the Year and received a CMA Award nomination for Song of the Year and Music Video of the Year. Look at this guy. Look, come on.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
He's got the guitar. You gonna play the harmonica too?
Gonna play some harmonica too. Right. I gonna play on my brand new harmonica holder for the first time in here.
Oh, ooh!
I know.
Ooh, breaking it
in. So fancy.
I love it. All right, Chris Jansen doing a little Georgia Satellites.
This first song I ever learned on guitar, by the way. First song I ever learned. Period. Kind of got me into music. So pay a little homage to this.
Hey guys, so because of licensing rules, we can't play anything with music on this iHeartRadio channel or podcast anymore. But you can go to BobbyBones.com to see it. We hate that we had to take it down. It wasn't our decision, but I just wanted to keep you up, and we wanted to keep up as much as possible. So go to BobbyBones.com to watch or hear whatever you're missing right now, and thank you for listening to the show, and sorry about all the legal stuff. Mr. Bobby
Bones. Woo! Thank you.
Killing it early in the morning.
I love that song, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
Fires me up.
We all do, right?
So that's good.
Fires me up.
That's a good one. Here's good vibes from Chris Jansen.
I'm getting them good vibes.
You wrote this one, but you often do. You write good ones, man.
Thank you very much. I really love this song.
Announced you got a new album coming out in the fall.
Yeah.
Give give a couple spots you're going to be. February 21st, Starland Ballroom in New Jersey, and February 22nd in Lancaster, PA. So go watch Chris. I've said pound for pound, he is the best entertainer in country music.
Thank you very much.
May not have the most lights yet. That's coming. All the explosions and stuff, that's all coming for you.
It's all coming.
But ain't nobody can outperform you, Chris Jansen. Nobody.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I was with Luke, because we're doing Idol together, and you had just come off the Crash My Playa.
Awesome, by the way.
Yeah, and so he was bragging about how good you were, like on stage.
Thank you.
And if you don't go up ready, you will blow someone off the stage. He's like, Chris Jansen. He's like, that Chris Jansen's good.
Thank you, man. We played Keep Your Hands to Yourself, actually, and can I just say for a second, like, how great of a human being Luke Bryan is, and how just gracious and nice and just over-serving to others he is. It's really a treat to be around him. It was an amazing trip.
Did he send you a golf cart afterward?
He did not.
But he did have us
to Crash My Playa, and he did give us a full trip with my family, and like,
dang.
You know, who does that?
Oh,
you
yeah,
know?
That's awesome.
And he put us up really nice, so I really, really appreciate that.
I need those friends.
Mm-hmm.
Amy did buy me some new shoes, though, that were nice, though.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Nice.
All right, goodbye, Chris Jansen. Good to see you, my friend.
It's great to see you. Always thank you very pleasure. Much. I appreciate
there
it.
There he is. Bringing the energy this morning.
The Bobby Bones. Whoa. The Bobby Bones Show.
Here's Amy's pile of stories.
So how much PDA are you comfortable with, Bobby?
I am comfortable with what she's comfortable with. Either way.
So if she's cool with full making out in front of, like, everybody, you're going to be cool with that? Mm. I don't think so.
No, but that's not realistic.
Some people do it, and I'm like,
okay,
calm down.
I wouldn't, like, make out, right? But if she's like, hey, give me a kiss. A kiss, it's fine. Like,
because there's five stages of PDA.
Give me the lowest stage first.
Holding hands.
Okay, I'm good with that. Check.
Hugging.
Absolutely. I'll do that with you guys. Go ahead.
Kissing without tongue.
You guys, I'm in with that too. Yeah.
Kissing with tongue.
Okay, we're getting iffy now on the PDA with tongue. Like, I don't... What's a five then?
That's
like,
yeah, right? What?
If that's four.
Straight up all the way.
What in the world?
I don't know. Well, yeah. Number five, let's
number
just
five
say.
When the story comes.
No. Number five, let's just say 4% of the population is okay with it.
Is it that? Is it that?
No, it's heavy petting.
Still, who does that?
Heavy what?
Petting.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no.
No.
Anybody who's into PDA here, like, I'm
fine with it.
I'll hold hands. Yeah. Snuggle.
Okay.
All
right.
Okay.
I don't know where she was going.
I guess this story is a good lead in to foods that are natural aphrodisiacs.
Okay. Give me some more.
This is just in time for Valentine's Day. Obviously, that's this week. So take note. Cinnamon. So that's a good one.
Don't do that. Aphrodisiacs.
Every time. cinnamon.
Go ahead.
I put cinnamon in my coffee or my matcha latte every morning.
Too.
Amy. That's why you guys come in like, ooh. Go ahead.
No, Eddie, you should make your wife a little something, sprinkle some cinnamon on there. Also, almonds. Mm. Who knew? Strawberries and watermelon.
Okay.
This summer fruit boosts blood flow.
There you go.
Okay.
Thank you. Boy, you know where Amy's mind is today.
It's cinnamon.
She's tuned in and there's two like, yeah.
I don't know
she's
why.
It.
I literally did not plan my stories this way, but now I'm looking at my next thing and this is sort of like something, maybe it's because it's Valentine's Day.
Where your mind
Day.
Is. Go ahead.
No. But did y'all know that Ryan Gosling once used the Dirty Dancing move in real life?
The Dirty Dancing move is what?
Okay, so in Crazy Stupid Love, which you saw that, right?
Is it where he picks her up over his head?
Yes, yeah. So the Dirty Dancing move is when at the end, Johnny picks Baby up and puts her like up above and they had the time that they're dancing to, I had the time of my life. And it's an iconic scene. And in Crazy Stupid Love, he does it in the movie. But he said that he told the producers before that, he's like, oh yeah, it's a baller move. I've done it in real life. So I didn't know if there was anything y'all got from a movie ever where you've like tried it out on a girl to impress her.
On the Sandlot, she's drowning and he gives her mouth to mouth. Squints does.
Wendy Peppercorn?
I always was waiting for that move. I was like, I hope she, yeah, I'm ready for it. I don't know that I have enough courage to try cool things from movies.
Yeah, it's probably hard. I could see that.
Yeah, I'm kind of...
not being your thing. But I just thought it was funny that he did it in the movie and then he admitted...
Lunchbox?
Man, I don't need the movies. I got my own moves, guys. Yeah. Like, you guys, Hollywood writes these fake scenarios. Just follow me around. They'll get great scenarios.
Like, I wonder how many people, after they saw Ghost, like, took their significant other to pottery making and, like, tried to, you know, make pottery.
I don't think pottery making is very common. I don't think you can find a place to make pottery that easily. That's a tough one. I think it's more lines. Pickup lines you see in the movie, those are the ones you use.
Yeah, probably things that are easier to use. You ever had anything used on you? Someone saw on TV show or movie?
No.
Morgan number two? Anything? Come up and go, hey, I want to buy you a fifth sandwich.
Yes, I'd like to buy you a fish sandwich and take a bite out of your butt.
What's that?
Leon Phelps, the ladies, man. Ladies, oh, yeah.
Got it.
All right. Amy?
Okay, I'm Amy. That's my pile.
That was Amy's pile of stories.
It's time for the good news.
With Lunchbox.
Tell me something good.
You guys always give me a hard time for playing rec sports. Say, you're too old. It's time to hang it up.
Wait, we don't always give you a hard time.
Well, let me tell you something good.
but we don't do that.
Yeah.
Jib Street is playing beer league hockey in North Carolina, and he's out there on the ice skating, goes into cardiac arrest.
Oh
no. Lucky for him, he was playing against Dr. Craig Bryant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Doctor gets out on ice, starts CPR, saves his life.
Wow.
Other players call 911, skated him onto the hospital.
And listen, that's good. I love that story. But we don't always give you a hard time. Maybe once every couple of months, we say, hey, are you losing a step playing against 19-year-olds?
You're right.
Thank you.
You're right. But I
are
just
you, though?
Maybe. But
are
I still
they running faster than you?
Some of them, it's in my mind, I tell myself I can do something, but then I run into someone because I can't stop.
What about your muscles? Are they hurting more so afterward, or are you still good there?
No, I'm still good there. I still got some good solid muscles.
Well, I don't mean how solid your muscles are. I mean, like, do they hurt so bad?
No, they're still good. They're young at heart.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Oh, good. There it is.
So, congrats, Jib Street. You're still alive because you were playing beer league hockey.
That's what it's all about.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones here. Been talking about this for a while. If you haven't played Best Fiends yet, man, you're missing out. It's like Friends without the R. Best Fiends. Best Fiends is the 5-star rated puzzle game that has me and millions of people obsessed. Like, go look at the rating of Best Fiends. That's how you know it's a good game. You solve thousands of fun puzzles. You collect tons of characters. We love the game here on the show. Morgan number two loves the game. I think she plays it every morning before we start playing work, or at least most mornings. If you haven't given it a try, let me just recommend that you try it. You can play Best Fiends with the family, with the friends you love in your life. They're all probably playing it too. If they're not, you can get them on. Best Fiends, it's Friends without the R. And here's something. The fact that you can play Best Fiends without Wi-Fi is pretty awesome too. It's perfect for flights. It's perfect for long trips. Best Fiends is one of those games you'll keep wanting to play more and more and get to higher levels. America's falling in love with Best Fiends, so do yourself a favor and download Best Fiends for free from the App Store or Google Play today. That's Friends without the R, Best Fiends.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. Transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come on, Bobby.
All right, coming up in the next 5 minutes, Colton Underwood, The Bachelor, will be on the show. So we'll talk to him. Now over to Amy with the joke.
The morning corny.
What did the stamp say to the envelope on Valentine's Day?
What did the stamp say to the envelope on Valentine's Day?
I'm stuck on you.
There you go. All right. Pretty solid. Here it is.
That was the morning corny.
Go.
On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Colton Underwood.
There he is. There's the Bachelor. Colton, what up, buddy?
What's up? How are you?
Good, man. What's happening with you?
Man, just traveling.
Yeah. Hey, so what's the deal? Whenever you're the Bachelor and the show's actually happening, because you're not doing all the stuff on TV right now, what are you actually doing while the show's on?
I'm doing what I did before I went on the show. I'm running my nonprofit right now, and I actually just got back from Pennsylvania. I'm doing a project where I surprise families with cystic fibrosis with a new medical equipment to help them battle CF.
Wow, check that. Look at this guy.
Oh,
come on.
Okay.
Look at this guy. Right.
So
do they have rules on you, what you can and can't do or go or tweet? Or like, what's the deal with that?
No. I pretty much do what I want. I mean, there's certain things that you have to, like, just abide by. I mean, yet you're on TV right now, so you have to sort of just be careful, like, what you're doing, I guess. But I was always aware of that before I went on TV, you know.
I want to talk about the nonprofit stuff you're doing before we talk about The Bachelor, if that's cool with you. So tell me about this, because you and Jacob Underwood of O-Town are friends. Are you even related?
We're not, but you know what? I bumped into Jacob when I was with the Chargers at a charity softball or a charity dodgeball event, and randomly ran into each other. We both had Underwood on our back of our like jerseys and stuff, and it was so crazy. But I linked with him. He seemed like a great dude back then, and then all of a sudden we kept in touch over the years, and he reached back out to me, and we linked again for this song, and it's been amazing.
So you asked Jacob to write a song for the Colton Underwood Legacy Foundation, which you were talking about, to help cure cystic fibrosis. So what does this song do?
For me, this song is big. It's an anthem. It's something for not only the CF warriors to listen to, but anybody who's struggling with anything going on in their life. I think it's one of those songs that if you listen to the lyrics, you know, it just motivates you to continue to push forward, to continue to fight, to go get it, to live your best life. You know, be comfortable in who you are. I think that's something that I, over this last year, have really come into my own and really found out who I am, what I want out of life. And I'm not going to let other people tell me how I should live my life, what I should say, what I should do. It's just sort of one of those anthems just to live your best life.
Colton Underwood from The Bachelor is on now. All proceeds of the song go to the Legacy Foundation, and the song comes out February 22nd. I'm going to play some over here, Colton, if you don't mind. So Stand by for just 1 second. Here is Hello World.
Hello World!
And you sang in this, huh?
I did, yeah. I recorded a little part of the Hello World. I don't know if you'll even pick it up, but yeah.
Oh, we'll pick it up.
Yeah, we heard you.
We'll highlight it, Colton. We will dial in on that.
I got you.
Hey, how can people help out the foundation if, let's say, they don't want to wait for the song? Like, what can they do?
They could go to coltonslegacy.org, and they could find out if they know anybody with cystic fibrosis or they know family or friends with it, they can nominate them for the AffloVest for the Legacy Project. Or, you know, they can make a donation, buy a T-shirt, just support it any way possible. My foundation helps cystic fibrosis families and patients. We go straight to the kids, straight to the families, and we leave the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. We let them, you know, raise money for research.
That's great. So say it one more time for our listeners.
Coltonslegacy.org.
Coltonslegacy.org. We'll put that up on our site too. So, all right, cool. We're there. You mind if we ask you some questions about The Bachelor now?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, cool. Lunchbox, go ahead.
All right, Colton, when it's the very beginning of the season and there's so many girls, is there someone in your ear telling you their names? Because there's no way you can memorize all those chicks right when they walk out of the limo.
No. I never have an earpiece in. Never. The trick for that one is you memorize three or four names and then you walk out of the room and you come back in.
Oh, that's funny. Smart.
Nice. Colton Underwood, The Bachelor, is on now. Amy?
Colton, is there any sort of we've heard that there's a drink limit, but I didn't know if that is true or not, because sometimes these girls seem like they've had way more than one drink. And then, you know, if there's not a set limit by producers, do you set one for yourself?
I actually coming in, I don't really like to drink too much. There'll be a time, like times before I walk into the room, or especially earlier on in the season, where I'd like to have like a glass of wine before I went in to take the edge off. But personally, not my choice to drink a lot. I like to stay hydrated, and you know, I wasn't a big drinker, but there is a drink limit. It's 2 per hour.
Oh, 2 per hour. Okay.
Can you sneak though and get like other people's drinks if they're not going to drink too?
All right. Hey, I'm not a rule breaker, all right?
Okay. Colton Underwood is on from The Bachelor. When you go on, do they give you a heads up on who any of the girls are at all?
No. So that's one thing that people don't understand too, is the only things you know about the women are what you ask. They don't tell you anything that's going on in the house. They don't tell you anything coming up before you even meet with them on your one-on-ones or on your group dates. So you really, what you need like to find out, you just have to ask them. If you have any questions, you have to ask them.
Do you find there are some girls that are favored by, because I did a reality show, and you know, you can sometimes tell like the directions the producers want people to go. Do you find that sometimes you can kind of sense what the producers are wanting you to go to?
I don't know. I know what you mean though, because there are times where they'll hop into a conversation. But I think honestly, that's in this situation, it was more to help push or develop a relationship. I don't know about favoring ones, because you really can't in this environment. You can't get in the middle of a relationship. I mean, I think that, you know, whether you like somebody or you're falling for somebody, I think that's sort of greater. It's one of those things that's bigger than the show itself, right? So you can't get in the middle of that.
So when it comes to your relationships, you start to get to know these women. How much input do you have on what you're going to do on a date?
That was actually the cool thing about my season. Not only did I have a great travel season, but meeting with the date producers and the date team prior to the season and asking, you know, what I had an interest in. And one thing that I did is I was like, I haven't really experienced a lot of a lot of crazy moments in my life because I always played it safe. So I always wanted to be a risk taker. So, I mean, we conquered a lot of fears of mine, whether it was bungee jumping, holding snakes. We did a pirate date because I'm a corny dude. I thought it would be cool to be on a soap opera when I was young. So I got to dress up as a pirate and do that. But the date team did a great job.
And so when you go on these dates, is it true? What do you do about the food? Are you allowed to eat the food, or is it just there for like decoration and you're just sitting there because you guys never seem to take any bites?
Oh, it's 100% there for decoration. Have you ever videotaped somebody eating food? It doesn't look pretty.
Oh, so you guys never eat the food?
Yeah, when do you eat?
Yeah.
We eat before dinner.
That's funny.
A pre-dinner to our dinner.
Let me ask you this, Colton. Let's just say hypothetically that someone is being approached to be the next bachelor. Hypothetically, 100% hypothetical. It's a guy, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
What would you say to him about what could possibly happen? Would you recommend he do The Bachelor?
Yeah, so hypothetically, if Bobby...
No, we're not talking about me, Colton. That's not me. Go ahead.
I would highly recommend it. At least for me, too. It's not, I will say this, it is not for everybody. But for me, it was for me, and I knew that after doing the two other shows. Because I don't go, like I said earlier, I don't drink, I don't go out to bars, I don't go out to clubs. If I find them maybe at a charity event, that was like my only way of finding a girlfriend, was a charity event or at the gym or something like that. So for me to have the time to focus on my life, like just on a relationship, was so valuable, and that's why like I know it works.
Did you get so ripped right before the show and cleanse and do everything before you had to do all the shirtless stuff?
Man, I tried, but you'll see as the season goes on, I gained 15 pounds this season. We went over to Asia, and I started eating all these noodles and soups and sodium, and I'd be chugging it. I'd be eating my food, and they'd be like, all right, shower scene. I'm like, great. I'm gaining weight like crazy over here. But
okay, hold on.
But yeah, I tried.
You say shower scene. So is that awkward sometimes when they're like, hey, Colton, we're going to need you to take a shower and we're going to film you? I mean, can you opt out?
No, there's parts of it that, like, you have an understanding. You have to shoot some B-roll and you have to do some things. But, yeah, I mean, that's part of it and you understand it. I was always in a swimsuit, so it's nothing crazy or nothing awkward about it.
Okay.
Well, Colton, we appreciate the time, man. And, you know, we're going to promote your cause, obviously, and we'll do it again when the song comes out on the 22nd. So I appreciate you calling in this morning. And, man, I hope it's good for you and good luck.
Hey, thank you guys so much. Yeah, everybody out there, hello world, out on February 22nd. So can't wait.
All right, Colton Underwood. Hey, good luck. Good luck with that love. There he is. Colton, have a good day, bud.
Bobby Bones.
Yeah.
So people reach their peak of being boring at age
35.
35 lunchbox.
Oh, 42.
39 years old.
Oh.
People get most boring at 39. It's when we tone down our drinking and we tone down going out on the weekends.
Yeah.
It's also when we start saving more money and start becoming a bit frugal because we're actually saving it and we start to know the value of it a little more. We care about our future. Now, that was 39. Eddie's the only one that's hit 39 so far.
And you're speaking my language.
Yeah?
That's me. Like, I'm trying to get out of debt right now. I don't drink as much. Pretty boring. I don't go out ever. That's me, dude. I've lost it.
The most interesting age is...
21.
Ooh, no. Probably, well, I'll stick with the theme. 29.
27.
Okay.
It's when people have started their careers. They're started to make money, like career type money, where you're not just going, I don't know what I'm going to do. And, you know, you're starting to like date seriously or like get engaged, you know, that type of thing. New relationships, happy hours, parties.
Yeah.
So worst 39, best 27. Man. Morgan number two is like 25. She got it all ready. She's ready to go. She's not even as interesting as she's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
She's, you know, inspired my new Instagram account, though. It's not my new account. It's still my same account.
It's your account. Your new, whatever your theme is.
Your new habit.
Yeah, she just takes a picture of herself and writes a quote under it. It's always a good picture. So now I've done that now. Does it drive you crazy we do this?
Yes. It's getting to the point where you guys are making a little too much fun of me. It's
We're
fine.
Not making fun
I'm
of
fine.
You. It's working. Yesterday, I was in the elevator. Eddie and I went to the elevator here and work and took a picture.
Yeah, you
it was
just
intentional.
On the elevator. You went to the elevator.
We didn't go anywhere. We just took a picture.
Yeah, we're just
I was
in
like,
the elevator.
Life's
yeah.
like an elevator. You know, it's going to go
full
up
of
and
ups
down.
And downs.
And, you know, hope. It's the whole thing. It's on my Instagram, Mr. Bobby Bones.
But you made that quote. That was your quote.
I didn't
Google it.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
wow.
amazing.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
So now it's what I'm doing. I'm putting up just pictures because it's working. People are like, that's great. I feel that. And I'm like, dang.
Did they get what you're doing, or they just
some
think
listeners
that you're
do? Some listeners, and then some people were like, "Thanks for posting that," but I mean it though. But yeah,
I needed this today.
A Houston family was overcharged $1,600 for pizza.
Oh,
they didn't even know. So they had pizza $20, and then they went to their credit card statement. And it was $1,600. Quote: "There was a temporary glitch in the payment processing. They became aware of it quickly, and they looked. It was $1,600." Isn't that funny? If it's not you?
If it's not you, exactly.
Those money stories are crazy. There was a story about a guy who went to an ATM, and there was a glitch. And so he knew the ATM was broken. It wasn't a one-time thing where it started spitting out money. He took out millions, $1.4 million.
In cash.
A bank computer programmer found a glitch in the ATM system. He took advantage of that error, stole $1.4 million. Now he's going to go to jail for years.
What?
He worked as a senior programmer at the bank. Realized that withdrawals were completed close to midnight and were not being recorded properly, so customers could access cash from machines without the amount of money of their accounts being affected. So he made a series of withdrawals up to $4,000 at a time.
Why is he going to jail for them messing up?
No, he's like, an insider. He knew the system.
But even if you didn't know the system when you're doing it, you can't keep money that's not yours.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I'm thinking like, if a computer messes up and gives you money, that's their fault. Put the computer in jail. Take that ATM and put it in jail.
Visitation like, or no?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Put it in solitary confinement. Maybe it'll learn its lesson. But that machine was messing up, not him.
Yeah, I'm here to see Techie, the computer. Visitation between 1 and 4. Yeah, he told investigators he was simply testing the system so he could see what the problem was.
Hey.
But he kept $1.4 million. Isn't that crazy?
That's an expensive test.
It is.
It's time for the good news.
With Amy.
Tell me something good.
So shout out to some firefighters that rescued a small dog from a house fire in Sacramento. So the fire started in a bedroom. The family was able to get out. And the firefighters showed up. Smoke, flames, all the things. The family's like, our dog Dickie, still inside.
Oh, yeah.
And the fire got knocked out. They finally rescued Dickie, but he needed to be resuscitated.
They did the mask thing?
They did the whole thing. Like, it took a handful of personnel, but they administered first aid, including
cool.
CPR. And
oh,
after
wow.
a moment of panic when they didn't know what was going to happen to little Dickie.
Oh, he was really in trouble, though. They had to give him CPR.
They resuscitated him.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought maybe they just saved him, but...
Yeah.
Wow.
No, he was still inside while everybody else is free, but nobody could go back in. So that's when the firefighters were like, we got this. And when they brought him out, he needed to be
Yeah, grateful you would be to the firefighters.
Oh, yeah.
One that risked their life going into your burning house, but also not only saved your dog, but did CPR on the dog.
Because mm-hmm.
they easily could have been like, sorry, you lost your
late.
Dog. Because
mm-hmm.
they have things they're worried about, too, like making sure that fire doesn't spread.
Yeah.
That's good.
I mean, yeah. I would say CPR on animals is one of my top favorite things. Like squirrels, you know? They've done it on a squirrel before.
Have they, though, really?
I swear.
Have they really?
Sure
come
it
on.
It has been
All right.
told and tell me something good.
Well, to those fire, where do they live?
Sacramento.
In Sacramento. That's awesome. That's what it's all about right there.
That was Tell Me Something Good.
Folks, it's your buddy and mine,
Mr. Bobby Bones.
Let's go. We're transmitting across America.
This is the Bobby Bones Show.
That's right.
Now, here he is.
Turn it up.
Come on, Bobby.
I love the stories where people fall down and hit their head and they have a new talent when they get up. Amazing stories. This guy in Colorado, they say that He's one of the few people that have experienced this rare phenomenon called acquired savant syndrome. And it's a bang to the head that gave him this piano ability. Listen to this, listen to this.
After recovering, he was at a friend's house and walked over to a keyboard, and suddenly, without having played before, his hands were all over it. It's called acquired savant syndrome. The trauma to the head unlocks something unique inside Derek Amato's brain.
Hit me in the head.
That is so crazy.
Wait, folks, do you believe this stuff?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, you how? Can't, he's never played before in his life.
He never played. But it's like people that can play by ear and they pick it up super quick. Something happened where he can now feel it, see it.
He just said he's never played, and then his hands start moving. That's crazy.
He said now music is in his mind. He sees in his head, his fingers do the rest.
Yeah, it's like some artists are like see colors. Like, isn't Sheryl Crow, like whenever she plays, does she see colors?
I don't know if she does. I asked John Mayer.
Is that John Mayer?
No, oh, and he denied
and he was
it.
Like, not really. I see different things. But some people do.
Oh. But these guys train too. Like, they learned how to play their instruments.
Well, this guy's not Beethoven. He's just playing piano over there. After recovering from the accident because he fell in a swimming pool. He was at a friend's house and he walks over to the keyboard and ba-da-doop. I mean, the keys one I do believe more than someone wakes up and they're like,
I speak French.
Hey, I'm British now. I'm like, right. No, dude, you're from Iowa. But you're from Britain. Like, that though, because you can just fake that. You can't fake playing piano. Those stories are amazing to me. I want to say this, speaking of music, I have an announcement for you. Every year, the biggest names in music take the stage at our iHeartRadio Music Festival. We've seen Justin Timberlake, we've seen Queen, Taylor Swift, Linkin Park, Brad Paisley, Elton John, so many people. Year after year, it's the biggest weekend in music, over 20 superstars. This year, we're trying something new, so we're giving away tickets. We're selling tickets, a very limited number of tickets, before the lineup's even announced. So if you want to be a part of history in September, you'll be able to buy tickets during our exclusive on sale starting this Friday at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. So you'll be able to buy them before they announce the lineup, but you get them. You can actually get them. Sometimes you can't even get the tickets.
Ooh, yeah. That's good. Sometimes when you get a really good airline deal or something, but you have to buy it before you know where you're going.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, it could be anywhere.
That does not sound like a deal.
It could be Mexico.
Maybe you know where you're going. You just don't know what time the flight is, okay. Whether it's 8 a.m. or that's 8 better. P.m. You're, so in this case,
you're playing for Costa Rica, but you get Afghanistan. Oh,
dang it.
Maybe next time.
No. But this is awesome because, like, you want to go to Vegas and go to an awesome concert. You know the lineup's going to be amazing.
Yeah, that's true. A very limited number of tickets will be available through AXS.com. So noon Eastern and do the counting back. There you go. We'll see you at the 2019 iHeartRadio Music Festival. Bam. There was a lottery winner. I think they won $1.7 million. And I bring this up because Lunchbox loves the lottery stories. Goes in and hides their identity with a screen mask.
Hilarious. Hilarious. I mean, that's so smart. Like, you got to come and get it in person. Okay, here I am. $1.7 million. Give it to me. Now no one knows who he is.
True.
That's so smart.
Would you want people to know that you won the lottery, though?
Oh, absolutely. If I won the lottery, you better be putting me on billboards.
Well, no, they're not going to, but would you pay to put yourself on billboards?
Yes, and I let the lottery, if you want to use me in a commercial, go ahead, lottery. That's right. Put my face out there. I'm rich.
I don't know if that'd be the best thing to do, because then you're a target. People know who you are. They can find you. They can rob you.
What? But then everybody knows you're rich.
You have a baby now.
Everybody knows you're rich, and they treat you differently when you're rich. If you are rich, you get treated differently than if you don't have money. You go places, hey, man, I'm rich. They give you free food.
Do you ever see me walk in and just yell, hey, man, I'm rich? No, I haven't. I've never seen that. I would assume most rich people, I don't even know they're rich.
You don't think so?
I don't think so. But again, the guy went in the screen mask.
Like when you see someone driving a Ferrari, you know they're rich. If they're driving a Ferrari, hey.
A Ferrari?
Yeah. What's the first thing you would buy? Is that a code? Is that a nickname for Ferrari?
Yeah, a Ferrari.
Oh, did you think it was a totally different car?
I thought it was like, I don't know.
I'd never heard Ferrari.
Me neither.
That's what you call it. That's the nickname.
Where did you hear that?
That's what you call it.
Who called it that? What show did you watch on MTV where they called it a Ferrari?
That is what they call it.
It's like Lambo, Ferrari.
Ferrari.
What do you call a Corvette? Vet.
Vet.
What do you call a Porsche? Porsche.
Man.
So dumb.
We're being haters a little bit.
Yeah, you guys are being haters. But I probably, you know what? I may have moved on. I don't know. A Ferrari or a Lambo. That's what I'd buy.
But rich is so relative. Like,
yes. Yes.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you're like Lunchbox. You're rich.
In the orphanage in Haiti. I went to the orphanage in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
How I grew up in probably America is probably considered poor. When I go to Haiti, I like how I grew up. I wasn't poor compared to that. Like, that's a whole different level. I'd be rich to them.
Right. So maybe you're already rich, Lunchbox. Right.
Yeah, I understand. Like,
are you rich in your heart? I mean, there's a different
that's
kind
important.
Of rich,
too.
Yeah, like, some people that live somewhere, they're going to be like, that guy has a Atama.
Oh, Atama?
Atama.
Atama,
Atama.
The Bobby Bone Show.
Around the room, your first ever celebrity crush. Lunchbox.
Ah, easy. Alyssa Milano. Oh, when she was on Who's the Boss, I was like, man, that girl is so smoking hot. I didn't realize she's pretty much the same age as us. And I was like, whoo, boy. I thought she was, yeah, she was the bee's knees.
Amy?
Patrick Swayze.
Oh, you went full adult.
Wow.
I know. It was inappropriate of me because I was way too young. But I love Dirty Dancing and... Don't ask me why I was watching that at such a young age, but I think I included in the letter to him my third grade school photo, and my hair is like in a side ponytail, and I
so
wrote...
So you sent him a picture hoping that what would happen?
Oh my God!
It was a crush! I didn't really understand what all that meant, but looking back, I mean, it probably would have been weird for him. My mom never... I found it years later. My mom never mailed it to him because she didn't have his address, but I mean...
Oh, she just kept it?
Yeah, and now I have it. I need to find a picture. Actually... I feel like I have it scanned in somewhere because after we cleaned out my mom's house, yes, like I have it with the photo, the letter. My sister, she helped me handwrite it because my cursive wasn't good, but we used a pink pen. And yeah, I was like, wow. I mean, he had a ranch like in Houston and I was like, wow. I only live like 2 hours in Austin, like away
what
from
were you.
Thinking?
Yeah, well, like what was best case scenario?
He would write me back and send me a picture or something because I was sending him one.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
You wanted to go to the ranch.
Yeah.
Wow. No, I mean, I was just thinking that I was trying to connect, you know, something relatable. We both have places in Texas.
But it never got to him. Your mom never sent it.
No, because she... And later when I asked her about it, she's like, Amy, how was I supposed to mail that to Patrick Swayze? She's like, and plus, she probably thought it was weird.
Dear Mr. Roadhouse. That's what you put. To the Roadhouse.
Good movie.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, it's awesome.
Mine was Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Ooh. Probably more age appropriate. Mm-hmm.
I had the biggest crush on her.
Bones, she is unrecognizable today.
Why? She is so hot.
What happened? Well,
I Googled her and I didn't know it was her.
What would she do?
She just doesn't look like the Jennifer Love Hewitt that we were like,
oh,
wow.
Yeah, she was a teenager then.
I know, but it's weird. You should Google her.
Her and Marsha Brady. But here's the problem with that.
Marsha Brady?
Yeah, like I was a kid and she was like an adult by then, but I was just I had a crush on the Marsha Brady on TV.
Oh. The old one.
Yeah.
I mean, the young one.
When I was really young. Yeah, I was a big Marsha Brady fan. Celebrity crush is your first one. Producer Eddie?
The supermodel Kathy Ireland.
Oh, yeah, a lot of guys
dude,
like her.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then she came out in that movie, Necessary Roughness.
It's a kicker.
Woo!
Yeah. Morgan, number two. Now, you're 25. Who was it for you?
Totally Justin Timberlake. He was my favorite. I loved NSYNC growing up, so Justin Timberlake.
Did you like J.C. Chazet?
Yeah, I mean, I liked all of them, but Justin was by far my favorite.
You liked Fatone?
Yeah, I liked all of it. Like, I sang to NSYNC in my bedroom, like, jamming by myself with my stuffed animals.
How old were you? Because I went to their concert when I was 19.
Amy had the same crush.
Yeah,
everybody
loved Justin
Timberlake. I mean, that would have been, like, elementary school probably when I was listening to him.
Raymundo in the glass room?
Yeah, Pam Anderson. All my friends had the posters in their rooms, and she was the first woman I thought, that's a very, very beautiful woman.
You know, on Home Improvement, she was on Home Improvement.
Yeah.
I liked her on Home Improvement, and I liked Heidi when Heidi came on Home Improvement, too. Yeah, that was good. Yeah, our first celebrity
She was a woman.
Ray goes straight to Pam Anderson. She was a woman, for sure.
She was a woman.
Yeah. Bobby Bone, come on. Eddie, you're going to love this next on This Day in Country Music.
Talk to me.
And you know why I have to bring it to you, right?
Yeah, because you're country music's youngest historian.
That's right.
The Bobby Bones Show.
On This Day in
Country Music.
On This Day in 1990, 29 years ago, Clint Black had the number one country album with his debut, Killin' Time.
This killin' time is killing me.
That's my jam, dude. Huh?
Blind, thinking I won't see.
Great, this song's so good.
And if I cross that line, will they bury me?
Amy over there going town too.
Well, I just might find I'll be killing time for eternity.
29 years ago, this comes out. Clint Black wrote or co-wrote every song on that album. He actually wrote four of the songs by himself. He used his own band to track the recordings instead of relying on Nashville session musicians. And the album was a huge hit, right? It was 3 million copies, CMA Male Vocalist of the Year, four back-to-back-to-back number ones. You ready?
What a baller.
Here we go. First one up.
Still I'm leaving here a better man.
Yeah. Oh, this is so good.
Yeah.
Knowing you this way.
I mean, this is me listening to Kiss the 96 as a kid.
Yeah. For now, I think I can.
All right, how about this one here? And then, of course, we'll go back to Killing Time.
This Killing Time.
Nobody's Home.
I still call.
And Walking Away.
It's the people who want love, the people.
Four back to back number. Oh, let's let Amy have her moment.
Come on, Amy.
Walk on the way.
Yeah, there we go.
I'll be looking for someone till I find the right one. And I won't be walking away.
I can see the cover. He's standing in front of that big clock. Killing Time.
Clint Black. Man, 1990, 29 years ago.
Dang.
Which one you want to play? Killing Time?
Killing Time.
Yeah. All right, we'll play this song now. On this day in country music, 29 years ago, Clint Black, Killing Time comes out, and here's the jam now.
That was
On This Day in
Country Music.
Bobby Bone, come on.
Did Lunchbox tell you he bought a book, read it, and then returned it?
No.
Is that what happened?
It was a Christmas present. It was given to me, and it had the receipt inside just in case I didn't like it. So I read the book. I kept it in pristine condition, and then I returned the book. With the receipt, got my money back.
Do you feel like it's stealing a little bit?
My wife thought it was stealing.
I feel like it's stealing a little bit.
Yeah.
She said that it was very dishonest and you're pretty much stealing from the store. And I said, no. If I was stealing, I would go and take money out of the register and leave.
No.
I gave them a product.
That's not the only way you steal.
Oh.
It's just because a book can be consumed by multiple people. You wouldn't go to the grocery store and buy a bag of almonds, eat the almonds, and then return the bag.
Some people do that. They try the product out.
Some people are thieves and wrong. So that store, let's say they have a book for $1. You take it, you read it, you give it back. They can't sell that book for $1 again. So it's now a used book. They probably can sell it.
They don't know it's used, so they're probably going to sell it. You're buying a used book and you don't know that
I think
he
it's
was
returned,
like,
though.
I don't know. If you return...
It's a return.
But it's not used. They don't know that it's used because they're assuming he's an upstanding citizen and he's not going to have used
it. But if a returned item, I don't think they can put it out there just in case, unless they
get
through every page.
And he says pristine, but you can tell when someone reads a book, right? You can tell.
Well, anyway, I think you can tell if he reads it.
Dishonest or not, Amy? Yeah,
100%.
100% dishonest. Eddie?
Dishonest.
Okay.
Take that back. Come on.
I think it's just honesty. I mean, I think I did a good job, upstanding citizen. What I did is now someone else has a chance to read that book.
Then you should have just given it away to somebody else.
Well, then I wouldn't have got the money.
Okay.
But it was a gift. You can never have the money.
And that's what we'll end on today. Oh, yes. Amy, what's going on today?
Oh, man, we got a girls' night tonight with the Sony event that Maren Morris is hosting.
Yeah.
And all the girls from the show are all going together.
That's cool.
Yeah. Man. You can't come.
It's Amy again, hanging out with famous people.
I know, right? She's like my friend Mare. I was like,
no,
who?
I'm no, not. Mare. No, Mare.
Her friends call her Mare.
You know, Muh.
Okay, well, Muh is hosting it. But, like, I'm not going with her. There's going to be, like, 300 other girls there, so.
Man.
Or, I don't know.
That's where I need to be. I got to get on an airplane. I know. The one day I'm leaving, there's this place with 300 girls.
They all look around
or
at you,
something
Bobby.
Like,
what is
I'm the only one.
Yeah, it's girls only, Bobby. But, I'm sure they'd like you.
I'll be Ladybugs. Put on a wig. That movie.
Yeah.
I'm getting on an airplane and flying to California. We start taping American Idol late this afternoon. The good thing is you lose 2 hours flying back, so I can actually make that flight and get there pretty good time.
Yeah.
So we tape tonight, and then back on. I'll just work from California tomorrow. But, yeah, this week of American Idol taping, and then I'm done until the shows start live. We're at the top 20 right now, and we do duets with the famous people, where they sing with someone famous, and then they do solos, and then we cut it to... We'll say half. It's probably a couple more than that.
Ooh,
and then that's when it goes live.
So by the end of this week, they know if they're making it to the top?
To the live show, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Do you know who the famous people are?
Yeah.
Who are they?
Can you say?
I don't know. I'm not going to because I don't know if I can say. But, yeah.
Who's your pick to win?
You know? Who knows?
You can't say that.
You know, I'm close to a lot of them, which is weird. Now I have a vested interest in a lot of them doing well because I've been working with them for so long. I'm the mentor this season on American Idol full-time. So I will not be in the first episodes when they're doing the city tours because I was still dancing on Dancing with the Stars. But after that, Hollywood Week from on, I'll be on. So I'm heading out there. Lunchbox, what's up today?
Co-ed soccer tonight. Taking the field. We're 1-2 on the season. Gotta right that ship. And so that's a big game tonight. 8 o'clock. If you want to get tickets, go to the box office.
Tickets?
You mean just show up?
Yeah, just show up.
Oh. It's like, wow, that co-ed's taking a step up. All right, thank you. What podcast went up today? Any of them today? What up?
Velvet's Edge.
Oh, the Velvet's Edge. Oh, with me?
Ooh, with Bobby?
That's right. Oh, yeah. And it's like
it's good.
Have you heard it?
Yeah. I had a sneak peek.
It's an hour and 15 interview with me.
Yes,
about
and
what?
You were everything. Very specific not to edit anything. And she even, so we're both friends with her. And she was like, can you listen to it and tell me what you think? And I was like, he's right. Leave it all in. You can't edit it.
Yeah.
You can't take anything out.
Don't edit. She was like, do I edit? And I was, for her, if it were just her doing it, because she's not a professional broadcaster like myself in the Radio Hall of Fame.
Yeah, of course.
I would say an hour 15 is probably a little long, but I was like, you got a Hall of Famer here.
Let it rip.
Keep it in there, man.
Let it rip, Tater Chip.
Yeah, let it rip, Tater Chip. Yeah, it's up there. Do we talk about how Kelly and I used to date?
In the podcast? Well, yes,
we
do. Did.
You all do talk about
here,
that?
I'll play a clip.
Oh, but the tension is there. Like,
it's not there. Here we go.
You mean the love tension?
Do you think you want to date somebody in the public eye? Would you like?
No, she's saying, do you only date people, you know?
Yeah.
That's
famous
not what she's
people.
Saying. She's trying to.
Yeah, she is.
She's trying to find out if you're still, you know, date her again.
Oh, is that what that question
that's
is?
That's what that is.
That is not
she's
not
on the public
question.
Eye.
I don't think it's about the public eye. I think someone that.
Tell me more.
Can understand what I do. It's not even about public eye. It's where do I meet people at work?
Right.
And what people do I meet at work? Like when you and I dated, I met you at work.
Just drop that one.
Well, I mean, what? I met you at.
There you go. So you can listen to
dang.
That.
Yeah. She was like, okay, went there.
She's definitely not used to your style.
I'm a great guest because I know what I want in guests. Like, give me something.
Did you hijack this interview?
What do you want me to do?
To
what
her.
You do?
Like, it's what he does. So it was fine.
Right.
And I, it was.
He starts turning the interview on her.
No, he
I tried
didn't
not
hijack
to do that.
It in that way. But he moved it along.
Search for the Velvet's Edge podcast, episode 24. I'm the guest. It's an hour and 15 minutes.
And Amy says you can feel the love tension.
No, I didn't say love tension.
There's no tension that way. So
no, I
let's
didn't.
Not start that.
Okay, I didn't say that. I said.
You did.
I did not. They said love tension. I said at times I could sense that maybe y'all had dated. Y'all can tell y'all have that kind of relationship to where there's, you know, some of that. Some of that.
Some of that love tension.
No, it's not
all right,
love.
We're done. Search Velvet's Edge. Thank you. We'll see you on tomorrow's show. Who's on tomorrow? We got a pretty good show tomorrow, huh? We got anybody stopping by tomorrow? Thursday's show?
Cassie Ashton.
Oh, Cassie Ashton's coming by? Thank you. Eddie had to remind me. None of the producers here knew, but thank you, Eddie, the video producer.
Eddie.
There you go.
Kind of.
Thank you. We'll see you tomorrow. Bobby Bones.